priest. We started out by, it's called the significance of a promise, the priest. The priest. And we had read from, I think it was Jeremiah 33, talked about all the, you know, all these things that were based upon a promise that the Christ would come. Amen? Emmanuel, God with us, based upon a promise in the Old Testament, hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus showed up on the scene. And so, and having seen that promise fulfilled, who believes that fulfilled, right? Where, yeah, as you're opening that nice present and or spending time with your family, remembering that this is all based upon a promise that the Christ would come, born of a virgin, amen. And we were talking about how Jeremiah was talking about that there would be so many kings in the line of David and so many priests that it would be in, you couldn't count it. Well, how can you do that? Well, that's because of the fulfillment of that is you and I being a kingdom of priests and kings. Amen. So we talked about the last couple of weeks about this authority that you and I have on this earth, authority as children of God, the authority that God has given us based upon promises, right? And we talked about what promises are in the Word of God that you're believing and standing on. It takes faith. It's faith, childlike faith to believe the ridiculous, that God can turn a generation around. Amen? Childlike faith that God can heal you of whatever you might be dealing with physically in your body. Childlike faith that God still heals because it's a promise in the Word. And we can go on and on and on, those things that we can stand in childlike faith. Amen? Standing for those that we want to see in families to come to know Him. Things in our own life, standing in promises, God can change our lives. Our struggles. See, while you're in the flesh, you know you're going to have struggles, right? But promises that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Promises that He's continually to change us. Amen? Those are promises, so I stand upon those. And what do you see? They come about. Amen? That we glorify Him because of the promises, because of the things that He answers and performs in our lives. 1 Peter 2:9, if I can mention this, it says, but you are a chosen people. Any chosen people in here? And it says a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. Collectively, the body of Christ, we're a holy nation. Whether you are in China, Iran, United States, Chile, all these countries collectively, but what's that mean? We're going to be spending eternity with one another. Amen. So you can't get mad at me because you're going to spend eternity with me. Remind yourselves of that. Remind yourselves of that when you get mad at me, that I have to see His mug for eternity. A people for God's own possession. See, these are see, these things that I'm reading are promises. You believe them by faith. We haven't seen that yet, have we? But they're dear to us. We believe them with childlike faith. We know they're going to take place. We know we're going to stand before God, don't we? We know that we're going to see Him face to face. Why? Based upon promises in His Word. So that you may proclaim, we got some of you, we're all of you, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Isn't that awesome? A royal priesthood. You know, when I mention priest, because people, especially young people, say priest, I have ever heard anybody teach about a priest. That's weird. But if you were from antiquity, if you were a couple thousand years ago, you would know all about in your society what a priest was. What you worshipped always had a priest connected to it. Well, let me tell you this, that we still, in the Old Testament, can we have that, can you show that picture? Bill, you may not be able to see this real well. But that is a picture of a high priest in the Old Covenant. And so, when you're saying, well, what do you mean by a priest? This is the clothing. This is what the priest in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, looked like. And they took it very seriously. And there was priests, different religions. Baal worship had priest. The different gods that were worshipped, there was priest. In the Old Covenant, there was a priest, so they had to wear certain clothing. They had to have all these ceremonial washes. It was taken very serious. So I just want you to see it. Every one of these things that is worn here had a specific purpose. And these things that were worn there have been fulfilled in Christ. And let me just say this. Thank you for that, Bill, that God still has priests. We may not see it in certain clothing, because they were types and shadows. But I can tell you here right now that if you believe Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you're a son or daughter of God, you are a priest of God. That's amazing, isn't it? You know, we've heard of like priest as in the Catholic, a Catholic priest, or an Orthodox church priest. But you know, there's only one intermediary between God and man. That is Christ Jesus. Amen? There's only one intermediary. I'm not your intermediary. I'm a pastor. I've got certain gifts and abilities that God has called me to a specific body if this is your church home. But I'm not a priest. I'm not your middleman between you and God. And you can go directly to God the Father. You couldn't do that under the old covenant. No, you had to go through all these different rituals and things that you had to go through that God set up that were powerful, and they were required for that time. But now there's only one intermediary. You know, Numbers 18:7, they had to take this. I don't have it up there, but it just says that talks about Aaron was from this, started this priesthood. Now, Aaron, whose brother was Aaron? Moses. Bingo. But he said to Aaron, he says, but you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything that concerns the altar and inside the veil. And you are to perform all these services. I'm giving you the priesthood as a service. This is as a gift to the tribe of Levite. And the unauthorized person who comes near shall be put to death. So you had to be a Levite. There was a 12 sons of Jacob, right? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the 12 tribes, and the only ones that could serve in priest in this priesthood were the Levites. And the Levites couldn't own land. And they were paid off of the tithes of the people. So it was very exclusive, a very exclusive club, wasn't it? If you were a king in Israel, wasn't it a very exclusive club? You had to be an heir of David, right? So it was same with the priesthood. You had to be an heir of Aaron, a Levite. Those were the only ones that could be a priest. It's old covenant priesthood. I'm telling you, it was taken very seriously. Matter of fact, Aaron's first two sons offered strange fire. So we're talking about second generation priests. They offered strange fire. They were doing their priestly duty, and they started offering strange fire or sacrifice to God, and both of them died instantly in the presence of God. Aren't you glad you don't live under the old covenant? Thank you, Jesus. I'd been gone a long time ago. My mom could testify to that. See, it was something that was taken very seriously. Only these... From that tribe of Levi, could there be a priest? There was priestly duties. Let me just go into that. There was priestly duties taking care of the temple, sacrificing animals for the sins of Israel over and over and over again, remaining ceremonially clean constantly. They could not be around somebody who was dead because they became unclean. So all these things they had for their whole life had to take particular care of. They had to teach the people. They serve as judges then to solve controversies, offer sacrifices, I told you, assess impurities in people or animals. They burned incense. They blessed the people. They blessed God. They kept the tabernacle. They took care of the altar, the lamps, and the showbread. Prepare the holy things for each day's journey. Continue the sacred fire. That's a sacred fire that burned day and night. They were the ones that would blow trumpets during feasts. So they had all these duties, things that you and I may not particularly know anything about, but I can tell you they had a type and shadow that represented Christ that is fulfilled today in you and I, as I'll get into, as priest of God. And so we had number one, if you were taking notes and I didn't say, old covenant priesthood was of God, was exclusive, and it was from the tribe of Levi. Number two, taken very seriously. Antiquity understood priesthood. Amen. Matter of fact, we're talking about how serious that was. You've maybe heard mention this in the past. The high priest would, in his clothing, he had some bells that were hemmed in part of the bottom, so they could hear him. They could hear him when he was doing his duties. Because if they called his name and they couldn't, and they didn't hear those bells anymore, they could drag him out with a rope, because he had died in his duties. Man. See, God is perfect. Here's the thing. Is that God is perfect. God is holy. God is right. Nothing has changed with God. He's righteous. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And so taken very seriously. Number three, Jesus. Let me say, we start here. Many of you know this. Maybe you don't. Jesus became our high priest and our sacrifice, establishing a new covenant, it says, with better promises. There's the word again, promises. Hebrews 8:6. Hebrews 8:6. If you're looking in your Bible, my daughter said, Dad, you need to slow down. Hebrews 8:6. It says, but now he, who's he? Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, to the extent that he is also the mediator of a better covenant, the new covenant, which has been enacted on better promises. Let me just say this, and I know it'll be a third week, but I just got to continue. There's so many promises in his word. As you are a king, a child of the king, and a priest, there's so many promises God wants us to take hold of for childlike faith. It's faith. We remember we talked about in Hebrews 11, we talked about those subduing kingdoms. Well, what kingdoms do we subdue now? It's the kingdom of darkness. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Amen? So we nowadays, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but we realize now in this new covenant, it's against Satan, who is what? The god of this world, little g. The god of this world, it says, who has blinded those who have blinded them, that they don't come to the gospel. My prayer is that for everybody in this room is that you would understand, that your heart would be open like a childlike faith to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he gave his life to you, that he could bring you into a new covenant, that his Holy Spirit would live in you, and he would miraculously, powerfully, over time, but change your life completely. I testified that he has changed my life completely. Hallelujah. Things that I could never thought I could ever get over, God has made me victorious. Amen. Is that your testimony as a priest in the new covenant? So much that I could never go back. It's too late. I'm too far gone over the edge. I can't look behind me anymore. Doesn't matter what's ahead before me, but I have forgotten those things which are behind me, and I press forward. Is that your testimony today? Amen. Amen. See, Hebrews 9:11 says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things having come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle in heaven. Where's that tabernacle? It's in heaven. He went, see, if you read in Isaiah chapter 6 and certain places in Revelation, there is a temple of God. It says in Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1, it's a temple of God. And it says that he wears this train that fills the temple. And that there's a cistern full of the prayers of the saints. There's an altar in heaven, which an angel took off that altar and put it on Isaiah's lips. So when Jesus died, he didn't go into the earthly temple. He went into the heavenly temple, and he made atonement for you and I. That's why it says that you and I are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen? Because every sin was washed away. Everything that was counted against you was washed when you repent and give your life to Jesus. That's why you can be seated at the right hand of the Father. That's amazing to me, isn't it? So he became the Lamb. Jesus became our high priest, establishing a new covenant with better promises. Amen. John 1:29, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, this is the first thing out of his mouth. John 1:29, the next day he, that's John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming to him and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He said, "I didn't know who it was. I hadn't seen him yet. I didn't recognize him. But when I saw him, the Spirit of God descended." John the Baptist said, "The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove." And then I knew it was him who I had been speaking about, the Lamb of God. And see, once again, I want to say there's no longer this middleman. You know, pastors have those duties, but I want to understand I'm not your middleman. Amen. See, God wants you to hear his voice for yourself. Pastors and teachers encourage you. They can teach you to grow you up into the things that God has for you. But I'm telling you, God wants to speak to you himself through his word, through the Spirit of God that lives in you. Do we want to hear? Because of the truth of the matter is, I'm a priest of God, but so are you. Every individual in here. I'm not more of a priest of God than you. You're his child. You're under the new covenant, and he has made you a kingdom, a royal priesthood. Isn't that amazing? 1 Timothy 2:4-6. 1 Timothy 2:4-6. Number four, no longer middleman. This is God who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's the truth? Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me." There's our truth. Who wants all people to be saved. He's not willing, it says in Peter, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Who wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. So we read it, it means it was prophesied in the New Testament, and then it happened. Jesus came. Jesus came. And then he lived a perfect life. And then he died, amen? And 2,000 years later, to me, it's like it happened yesterday. We know it did to God because a day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. So to him, it's just a couple days ago. But you and I, somebody who gave his life for our sin 2,000 years ago, is still every bit as powerful today as when the apostles first walked the earth for him and started the new church. It's still just as fresh, just as powerful, just as life-changing, amen? And still the only way to the Father is through Jesus. There's many who claim there's another way, but there's no other way. If there was another way, then why would Jesus have given his life? Amen. So let me say this. Number five, then, the new covenant means a new temple. A new temple. Have you seen that temple? Have you seen that temple? Number five, the new covenant means a new temple. 1 Corinthians 6:18-20. It says, "Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a person commits is outside the body. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body." Well, why is that? What's the deal with that? "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought for a price, therefore glorify God in your body." The temple now is you and I. Did you know that? Where they had the temple, where they had the Holy of Holies. The Ark of the Covenant was there. Then they had the veil. We know that when Jesus died on the cross, it says the veil was torn in half, meaning I no longer dwell in a beautiful box made of gold with 10 commandments sitting in them and Aaron's rod and a jar of manna. I don't dwell that anymore. He says, "I've moved. I've taken up new residence." We know he's in heaven. We know the Holy Spirit is everywhere at one time, but he no longer lived in a temple. He took up residence in those who believe in him, amen, who've accepted them as their Lord and Savior. He takes up residence, and now you and I or those temple. So what are you saying? Flee sexual immorality. You belong to him, right? God made intimacy, looking at the ages of kids here, so I'm careful, between a husband and wife. Let me read this again. Flee sexual immorality. Every other sin that a person commits is outside the body. But this is Paul. But the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You were bought with a great price. So you belong to him. It says that he's a jealous God. But God does this. He says, when you get married, he says, I will share you, your body, with your mate. That's how God designed it. That's how God designed it. My whole body, I belong to him. And we'll talk about it next, being a living sacrifice. I know we live in a day and an age where sex immorality isn't even considered, but I'm going to tell you, when you give your life to Christ, you belong to him. He made you for intimacy with a woman or a man, opposite. If you're a man, a woman. If you're a woman, a man. Amen. In the beginning, he made them female, male and female. Amen. A man shall leave, what's it say? Shall leave his family and cleave to his wife. Amen. You believe that? Amen. See, God loves you. He said, you belong to me. I paid it, the ultimate price. I gave my son who is perfect. You belong to me. His presence lives in you. The Holy of Holies now is inside of you if he's your Savior. And that power that has the ability when he gives us a new spirit to change everything on the outside, to change your outlook, how you believe, how you think, what you think about when you die, amen, where you're going to go. You start taking on these things and start believing these promises that God has in his word. It takes something that's black or white on a computer screen that I read, and it makes it absolutely life to me. Becomes life to me. Amen. God is jealous for you. Here's the wonderful thing about this new covenant. Let me just talk specifically, because whether it's music, television, everything, doesn't it? It's like a vomit of sexual perversion of every type. We know Satan, what he can do, what he can use to damage people. He knows what God made us for. He knows what he made the parameters for intimacy. He knows that, and Satan knows that too. So what does he do? He pukes his filth and his lies to a generation. But if you believe the truth, this is what it is. Regardless of your past mistakes, I'm talking sexually right now, you repent of it, you say, Jesus, forgive me, wash that all away, walk in newness of life. What did he say to the woman, remember, that was caught in the act of adultery? So he had all the religious leaders bring this woman. We don't know what happened to the dude. Why wasn't he there? But it was, you know, they had the law. The law said if you're caught in the act of adultery, you're to be stoned to death. Yeah. And so these religious leaders bring this woman caught in the act of adultery to Jesus. And they're saying, what do we do? The law says this. What do you say, Jesus? And he gets down, starts writing in the dirt and the sand. We don't know what he wrote. Some people think that he started writing out all the sins of the religious leaders. Because Jesus, if you read, he's talked about these religious leaders. Everything looked good on the outside, but he says inside you're full of dead man bones. He said this to the religious leaders, being harsh. He says, not only are you on your way to hell, he says, but anybody that you get to follow you, you're leading them straight to hell. They had the law, they had the Bible, they had all these acts of self-righteousness, but they knew nothing about walking in righteousness. They knew nothing about the law, the truth of the law, the mercy of God, the love of God. They knew nothing about it. And so as they said, what say you? They said they kept pressing him. And finally he gets up and he says, you who has no sin, cast the first stone. And slowly everybody begins to leave. I believe there was such a power an anointing of God there when he spoke, because he is a living word. I believe every filthy, hypocritical lie and sin that they were in begin to be exposed, and they begin to walk away. And then it was just Jesus and this woman. And what did he say to her? Jesus said, "Where are your accusers?" See, Revelation says the accuser of the brethren is Satan, by the way. And so they said, "Where are your accusers?" She said, they're not here, Lord." And what he says, he says, "Either do I accuse you, go and sin no more." It was a precursor. What he was saying, "Let my grace wash you. I have so much more for you. I love you. You're so precious in my sight." See, that's the whole thing about us being the temple of God. It's because every person is so precious in his sight. How he loves you. Doesn't matter your background, your mistakes, how he loves you, how precious you are. I said it before, if you or I were the only persons on this earth, he would have still shed his blood for you and I. He should, how if we understood how much he loves us, we would leave so many of these things behind us, because we would see how valuable we are. Many people who stay in bondages and sins of the flesh, they're there because they don't have any self-worth. The self-worth factor is not there. They don't think anything about themselves. But when you realize how valuable you are, that you are the temple of God, that he paid the great price for you, when you realize how wonderfully you were made, amen, that's when you realize, say, he has so much better for me. Why would I live below my means? Why would I stay in bondage when my Father loves me and has a vast green field for me called life that I can walk in? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He leads me beside still waters. That's peace in our life. That's his goodness being revealed in our life. That's the power over those things that would try to hold us back. When you realize how precious you are in your sight, we do not want to live beneath what he has for us. Does that bear witness for you? Amen. New covenant means new temple. Amen. So precious. I want to leave those things behind, and I want to experience all that he has for me in his righteousness, in his holiness, in his purity. I want to think like he thinks. I want to, it says his ways are much higher than my ways. He came down to earth, amen, to die for us so that he could lift our way of thinking up where he is. But the world thinks that he's going to come down to our way of thinking. No, that's not what he does. He lifts us up to his way of thinking in his love and mercy. That's good news. So new covenant means a new temple. We got any temples in here? Amen. We could go into all we could spend weeks on all those things that were going on in the temple that now go on in you and I. But that's for another day. Let me remind you, Jeremiah 33:18 says, "Nor will the Levitical priest ever lack someone to stand before me and continually offer up burnt offerings, sacrifice, cereal offerings, and offer the other sacrifices." He says it never will cease, but didn't it cease, that old covenant worship, temple worship? So if that ceased, but it says it never will cease, that's a promise, then we have to understand that that was fulfilled in you and I. So what does a new covenant priest look like? We don't wear Levitical priestly garments, right? Some do, I understand. But we don't have to. We don't do that. We don't go through ceremonial washings. We do get baptized in water, amen, which shows an outward demonstration of what God did on the inside of you. Hallelujah. We just had baptismal last week, and that was awesome. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Okay. It goes so quick. So what does a covenant priest look like? New covenant. See, Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Thus he takes our yet to be. This is into the, catch this. I'm not talking about your spirit, man. Brand new in Christ. Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. Thus he takes our yet to be perfected bodies and accepts them as perfect, holy, as a perfect and holy sacrifice. How? By his grace and power. How else could he live in you? If someone messed up in the priestly worship in the old covenant and they died and they had to drag them out, how much more perfect and powerful are the promises of Jesus, who shed his blood for you and I? That you and I, he was the perfect sacrifice, the lamb. You remember he talked about that perfect, look at a picture of a cute little lamb. You're like, what did he ever do that has to be killed for the sins to cover? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But it was lamb after lamb after lamb. And then Jesus being the perfect lamb in every way. Spotless, not one sin, nothing, but yet he became sin for you and I, that we could be, that his Holy Spirit could live in me even and stay there and not fry me when I'm making all these mistakes. And don't tell me you don't make mistakes. Don't tell me you don't have a bad thought life sometimes. Some of you are stuck in a bad thought life because you don't value this temple. You don't value yourself as what God did for you. You don't think highly of yourself. Amen? Well, he sure did. Amen? He thought highly enough of you that God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen? He thought that highly of you. And then when I'm still making mistakes, he still lives there? Is there times where I grieve him? Yeah. Does he leave? No. Because it says if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you don't belong to him. So I don't belong to him one day, then the next day. We're not going through this back and forth. I don't understand how he still remains with me. I don't get it. But one thing I know is I'm very grateful for it. And therefore, I love him all the more because he sticks with me even in the middle of my mess. Religion says he won't stick with you. I blow it, he's still there. I blow it, he's still there. I'll say, Lord, when am I going to quit blowing in this area of my life? Lord, help me here. And I know he is, not at the pace I want. But he's still there, loves me, encouraging me. The perfect sacrifice so that you and I, his Spirit, can remain in me. Amen. We are priests. I love this, Romans 12, 1 and 2. In the Passion Translation. Have any of you heard of the Passion Translation? This is Paul says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? That's a sacrifice, right? To surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness. This means pursue him, experiencing all that delights his heart. Man, everything. I want everything now as I pursue him. I don't live in condemnation. I can move and breathe and live in freedom in him. But I have still this desire that everything in my life, as far as my thoughts and my actions to others, would please him. They would match up exactly as how Jesus acted and thought and moved when he was here on this earth. Amen. To surrender yourselves to God, to be a sacred living sacrifices, living in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship, a living sacrifice. Lord, I belong to you. Verse 2 says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Is there a lot of opinions in the culture around you? Has a lot of ideals of what this is truth, or pursue this and you'll find joy, do this, you'll find happiness. Amen. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Thank you, Lord. A total reformation in how you think doesn't happen instantly, doesn't happen over 5 years. 10 years, 20 years. It happened your whole lifetime. The Holy Spirit through His truths. You become born again, but how do you change? It's through His truths. It's His truths that change us. It says that Jesus, we know Moses brought the law. Jesus brought what? Grace and truth. So you get born again. The Spirit lives in you, but how are you going to transform? It's through truth. God reveals something to you. Lord, that's not helping me. The truth's been revealed. Through your strength, I'm done with that. Lord, thank you. That type of thinking is not helping my marriage. I think I'll think differently, as an example. Lord, this type of talking is not helping my relationships. Lord, thank you for showing me how I should talk with grace and with kindness and with your goodness. I think I'll repent, change how I think, and I think I'll walk in this. Amen. See, it's the truth that transforms us. The Holy Spirit comes in and he gives us a brand new spirit. With this mind, will, and emotions, and this thing called flesh, have you ever noticed that? It's got its own mind? Why doesn't the body crave after things that are good for it? Right? The flesh is never going to be regenerated until he comes back. Romans 6 says that through Jesus Christ living in us, we're to be dead to sin. And learning that process starts with the changing of the way we think. Where the flesh says to do this, and then the spirit man says, don't do it. I've got a better way for you. That's actually leading you into your depression. That's actually leading you into your hopelessness. Let's leave it behind. But my body's screaming. Let it scream. Let it kick. Let it die. Follow the Holy Spirit. Brings you into peace. Brings you into joy in those areas. Amen. As a priest to God, what does a life or sacrifice look like? I'm going to give a few things. Are you still with me? Are you still there? Let me just say this. We don't sacrifice to be accepted by God. We offer spiritual sacrifices to God with joy because we are accepted by faith through the cross. Let me just say this. You know the scripture, you know, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Right? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not work. What are works? These things, the things that we do does not make you holy or righteous. We do these things based upon who we are in Christ already with joy. Have you ever tried to do things? I've been there before where I've tried to do things to be righteous, trying to even the scales. This was years ago, but I remember there was a struggle in my life, and automatically I thought, what can I do to balance the scale? What kind of work? What can I do in the church? What can I do here or there without even realizing I was doing these works to try to balance the scales? And I remember coming to that aha moment saying, I don't have to do anything to balance the scales. I have been accepted by Christ by His sacrifice, and I've accepted it fully. I am righteous. There's no works I can do to make myself righteous. If you do that or caught in that trap, it's called legalism. Where it's like, but because then you go to other people and say, look, if you're going to be righteous like me, then you got to start doing these works as well. You've got to show us those things. No, it's the opposite. Because of His righteousness, I have this heart that comes forth to do those things that He's placed already within me, giftings, abilities, and talents that He's given me that I do for His glory as a priest of God. Amen. Let me continue on. Let me explain a little bit. We don't sacrifice to be accepted by God. We offer spiritual sacrifices to God with joy because we are accepted by faith through the cross. See, the sacrifice was a spotless, perfect lamb. You and I in our flesh will never be a spotless, perfect lamb in the flesh. Just get used to that. You're going to have some struggles and things you deal with till the day you draw your last breath. How do I know? Because my two grandfathers told me that. So let's talk about priestly activities. Point number 7, priestly activities. Just from the Word of God. Philippians 4:18. Let me just give some examples, okay? You and I as priests. What are some priestly activities since we're not in the old covenant and we're not in the temple? This is Paul says, but I have received everything in full and have an abundance. He's talked to the Philippians. And I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. That aroma. See, when they would have the sacrifices in the temple, what they would sacrifice and then the fire and burn, what it says would have this accepting aroma to God. It was this, he would smell that aroma, a life had been given for sin, and he would accept that sacrifice. Well, we know Jesus was the final sacrifice. On your and my life, there's this aroma of Christ that comes off of us. When you give sacrifice, when we're doing good, one way of a spiritual sacrifice as priest is our giving. In this case, it says, such sacrifices God is pleased. What were they doing? They were giving to Paul. So Paul was in different places starting new churches, and this Philippian church was always sending him a gift to meet his needs. Even sometimes the churches that he was starting, they weren't helping him, and he wasn't there to say, hey, I want to collect your money. He wasn't there for that purpose. But the Philippians knew that he had needs while he was starting a church. They understood giving. They understood the sacrifice of giving. So it says that they were giving him gifts time after time after time. And Paul was saying, hey, this is a sweet aroma to God. Your gifts that you're giving to me, that the sacrifice financially that you're giving to me, it's a sweet smelling aroma. It's a sacrifice that God is pleased with. See, that's an example of a spiritual sacrifice. When you're giving of your tithes and offerings, did you know that's when you give with a joyful heart, did you know that's a spiritual sacrifice that God is well pleased with? Paul says, don't give grudgingly, amen. As a priest of God, give joyfully, amen. Give a sacrifice, give it joyfully. So when we give a chance to give, we say, thank you, Jesus, for this spiritual sacrifice that I'm giving. I'm giving it as unto you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I am a priest of God. Thank you for being, Father, pleased with this sacrifice. We could go on to giving more and more and more. What a blessing it is. It's more blessed to give than to receive in the book of Acts. So there's one. Financial giving as a priest is a spiritual sacrifice. That makes sense? How about our praise and doing good? Look at Hebrews 13, 15 and 16. It says, through him, who's him? Jesus. Through him then, let's continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to our God. When you come in here and you're feeling low or down in yourself, sometimes it's a sacrifice to worship him. But with such sacrifices, he's pleased. What is it? It's faith saying, Lord, I don't care how I feel. I don't care what's going on. But as a priest of God, I'm going to worship and praise you. It says the fruit of my lips. Offer up sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips praising his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Helping in this one, it's twofold. He's talking about worshiping him. So when you're worshiping him, you know how you do that? It's realizing the truth. You're a priest. He loves our sacrifices. You don't wait for your flesh to say, I don't feel like praising. I'll praise him when it feels good. No, a sacrifice of praise is even as priest of God, even when you don't feel like it, I worship and praise him. He'll get me through every struggle. Lord, you may be going through some, matter of fact, when there's struggles going on, that's when you need to train yourself to worship and praise him all the more. Amen. That's when you say, hey, guess what, flesh? You're going to do what the spirit man wants. We're not going to do what the emotions say. We're going to worship and praise him anyway. Yeah, but I made a bunch of mistakes. You don't know what's going on. I just did this bad thing. Lift up your hands, ask, repent, and say, Lord, thank you. I am a priest of God. Thank you for washing all my sins away. The struggle I keep having over and over and over again, keep coming to Him, keep worshiping Him, keep honoring Him, keep asking Him to reveal truths and promises to you. Hallelujah. And you will come out of that because you belong to Him. Amen. Don't give up. You're a priest of God. Amen. And it's an exclusive club, by the way. It may not just be Levites, but it's only to those who made Jesus Christ their personal Savior. He wants all people in this world to be a priest, but it's an exclusive club. It's only for those who realize His goodness, that He is God, what He did for us. I invite you to join this exclusive club, to become a priest of God. How He loves you. He's the only way to peace in this crazy world. Amen. Praise and worship. The fruit of our lips. Praising God. Amen. Let's continue a little bit. This is sharing the gospel is being priestly. Sharing the gospel is being priestly. Romans 15:16 says, this is Paul, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, ministering as a priest. Hear that? Ministering as a priest, the gospel of God. So that my offering of the Gentiles may become acceptable, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Everything that Paul was doing, he was doing it as unto God. Amen. He was preaching, and there would be some that would listen, others wouldn't. There would be those that would abuse him, that others would accept him. But what he do? He says, Lord, it's all a sacrifice to you anyway. I do it with joy. I do it with confidence. I do it as unto you, Lord. Because he's saying, I am a priest of God. The fulfillment of the promise, you will never fail to have a successor in the line of Levite. Let me say it again. It's fulfilled in the church of Jesus Christ. Sacrifices of animals will never be accepted again. Doesn't matter what they do in Jerusalem. Doesn't matter if they ever build another temple. It's all just a precursor. It's only types and shadows of what was fulfilled in Christ. Let me just say this. He paid the price for you. Amen. There's nothing you could do to make Him more pleased with you except understand His love for you and to begin to understand what it is to walk as a priest of God. Men and women, by the way. Men and women. Amen. Couple thoughts here as we wrap it up, as the worship team comes. I said this already. Instead of turning to nurse and rehearse past sins, failures, and hurts, receive His forgiveness, forgive others, and offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God through Jesus. Amen. Or maybe there are sins of the flesh or your thought life that you hold on to that you need to let go of. Maybe it's time. Maybe there's things that the Lord is speaking to you. It's just time to let go of those things. Sometimes things have happened in our life. I've come to realize as I've gotten older, I'm getting a little bit more wise. Some things that have nurse and rehearse. So there are certain sins of the flesh that bring comfort to people. It brings comfort to their flesh, but you know it does not bring comfort to your soul and your spirit man. You know the spirit man is saying, it's time to let that go. Why? Because he's mad at you? No, what he's saying is, I got so much more for you. Don't nurse and rehearse. Offer forgiveness. As Christ, what did Paul say? Forgive others as Christ Jesus has forgiven you. There's a lot of things in my life I can't believe He's forgiven me of. And it took me a long time to get my conscience straightened out to realize He has forgiven me of some awful things in my life. Washed and clean. I'm as clean as some of you guys that have never sinned once. I'm as clean as your holy ones out there. That's what the blood of Jesus does. Let me say this. Jesus isn't just wanting to save people. He's wanting to show us how to be kings and priests. It's what the Father promised. What the Father promised. Amen. One of those things I love, I have to throw this scripture in right now is One thing, understanding priesthood is coming together. Yeah. Bonded together as brothers and sisters. Some of the most healing things that have happened in my life is having some true friendship like family. I like Psalm 133, 1 and 2. Let me read this. I think it'll be the last scripture I read today. It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to live together in unity." Brothers and sisters in Christ to live together in unity. That's you and I. Do you have unity with brothers and sisters? Can I ask you that? Amen. I like this. It continues. It is like this is what it says. It's like the precious oil on the head running down upon the beard as on Aaron's beard. Who was Aaron? He was a priest. On Aaron's beard, the oil which ran down upon the edge of his robes. See, that's the thing with the Holy Spirit and with unity and love for one another. What's that scripture? We say it all the time. They'll know you're my disciples by your love for one another. See, that love for one another, that unity is like the oil, the Holy Spirit coming over the head, your head. Amen. Holding no resentments, unforgivenesses towards people, whether inside the church or outside the church. Amen. Letting go of those things and that Holy Spirit running through your head. Those thoughts are gone to your garments. The garments is your righteousness, a right robe of righteousness that Jesus gave to you and I when we accepted Him as our Lord and Savior. That oil covers us completely. That's a representation of the Holy Spirit operating in your life as a priest to God. Can you not see that today? Do you not sense that in your spirit man today? Amen, God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit running over our heads, amen, over our hearts, over every garment as we live in unity and forgive others. See, there's no, if you don't forgive others, you'll never walk in unity. But it's one of those things as a priest that God would ask us to do. Off the edge of our robes. We don't have robes like a priest. But yet you are a priest in the Lord by faith. You got priestly duties you do because you're already accepted by Him and you walk in them. Amen. You're speaking kindness to people is a priestly thing. You sharing and giving to other people, that's a priestly sacrifice. You worshiping Him when you don't feel like it, that is a priestly sacrifice. Amen. Being kind one to another when we don't want to, that's a priestly sacrifice. Amen. Leading our homes with kindness, not perfection. That's a priestly sacrifice. I don't know about you, but there's nothing else in this world that I'm more grateful for than being a priest of God. Can you stand up with me to this morning? Lord, we bless you and we honor you. Let me just say this. If there's things that you're struggling with that keep holding you back, let me just say this. There's different ways. There's not one way. Some people will say, hey, I've repented over and over and over again. I know what that's like. This is what I found the key is. Saying, Lord, this thing that keeps habitually dragging me down is sin of the flesh. Lord, help me. Give me a plan. Show me how to come out of this. Lord, show me. There's many people. I went to the front and had prayer over and over and over and over and over again. But to be honest, until I understood my worth in Him, it just stuck to me. What I didn't realize until I understood how valuable I was to Him, it was something that just dogged me and dogged me and dogged me and dogged me. But when I found out who I was in Christ as a priest of God, and hallelujah, when I realized how valuable I was for Him, it didn't matter what other people thought of me, doesn't matter how you were raised or weren't raised. When I realized who I am in Him and how valuable I was, those things begin to fall off. It was just value. How valuable you are to Him. Father, we worship you and praise you. Can we just take a second? Lord, thank you for priests in the house. Maybe take a second to say, Lord, I'm going to give a sacrifice to praise to you. Matter of fact, as we close, if you could stick around and sing this song, would you realize as you're singing it that you're a priest of God? Amen. That you would give a sacrifice of praise, amen, and say, Lord, I belong to you, Amen. I belong to you. I'm of great value. I'm a walking, breathing temple of God. That's amazing. Amen. That's amazing. We thank you for that today, Lord. If you need prayer, would you come up here? We would love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I would love to introduce him to you today. Introduce Jesus. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We praise you. And we worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Let's just take a minute and let's give a sacrifice of praise to him. Can we?
The darkness you give hope, you restore every heart.